Well, Mike, joining us now, we have the master of the modern short game and the author of Your Short Game Solution, Mr. James Seekman. James, welcome into the golf shop.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
No problem. All right. So first question I got to ask you right out of the box. You know, we talk about all the time the difference between amateurs and professionals. How much better are touring pros at the short game than even a scratch golfer at your local private golf course?
Well, I mean, it's tough to generalize because you do have amazing amateur players as well, but there's no comparison. I mean, you got to realize that the breadth of experience in playing different types of grasses and adjusting the weird slopes, and they play tough conditions every week, and it just kind of sharpens things up. And, you know, most of those guys are, if they had a handicap, they'd be like plus six or seven, you know. And it's and that's on just really tough tests. So they really are. It's like the commercial, you know, those guys are good. It's a joke, really, how good they can be. One quick stat just proved my point. Inside 10 yards from off the green, tour average is 97% up and in.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's ridiculous. But, you know, it shows us what's possible. It should inspire us all.
Yeah, well, when you're working with your better players or your tour players, how much do you encourage them to try strange shots? I mean, you're embedded in the side of a sand trap. The grass is coming toward you. You haven't hit through it. It's sitting down, but you're just off the collar. How much do you encourage your players to actually spend time on those tricky shots?
Yeah, it would be, you're really kind of like hit on the secret to developing skill. It would be 90% of the shots. The only way to learn is to, you know, most of the learning is subconscious. It's not conscious. And you just pick up little cues like, oh, the top of the grass is a little wet, so the ball just happened to slide off base a little faster. And I was a little into the grain, and it came out slow. And, you know, you just can't hardly cover all that stuff. So the key is experience. And the more you practice the odd, you know, the better sense you have of what to do in every occasion. And I always tell people you want to be the master of adaptability, not the master of consistency. And adaptability will always win in competitive golf.
And it does come down to creativity. I mean, you have to have some kind of creativity to be exceptional at the short game. I mean, you have to visualize shots. You have to visualize where you want it to land, how much you think it's going to roll out. I mean, you also have to assess the situation as well. I mean,
right.
If you're playing a Bermuda green, you got to figure out if you're down grain, into the grain, cross grain, whatever. So those are all the things that you need to take into account, aren't they?
That's right. And the tour players, as should amateurs, have an organized process they go through to get ready, where they would assess the lie and the landing spot and the trajectory. You know, they're not hitting one trajectory. They'll have five or six different kind of trajectory windows in mind that they'll choose before they pick their landing spot. And it's judgment is the difficult issue. So if I was just giving a tip to your listener, it would be, you know, if you go dump 20 balls in one spot and chip to two different holes, I mean, you're not judging anything. After the first ball, literally, you're using the same information to get the second, third, and fourth. And so the key to developing skill is random training, where you literally just throw your balls around like an Easter egg hunt. You get as many pins as you can to hit at, and if you only have one or two in your chipping green, then you should put some tees down or some simulated holes so that you can, you know, bump a few into the fringe and lob one up from a short side of tough lie. And, you know, you want to go up slopes, down slopes. And the thing is, the thing I try and teach at my academy and the pros that I work with is that your screw-ups are really opportunity to grow in disguise. And most amateurs, really, the critical mistake is they hit a bad shot and they kind of turn away in disgust. And they don't use that opportunity to just think it through. And, you know, that's quite honestly why I entitled my book Your Short Game Solution, because 100 times a day I'm usually asking a student, okay, what's the solution for that one? And if they can't give me the answer, it's not my job to tell them what to do necessarily, because there's very little learning that goes on when that happens. They need to be able to look at that critically and go, you know what, if I had a do-over, I would have chose a different club, and I would have picked a different landing spot, and I would have, you know, created some angle in my dress or whatever the case may be. And it's going through that process that creates growth.
Well, James, in addition to your incredible resume and your book, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is that I've become sort of a short game evangelist. And I think you know, I don't want to say you could be my Robert Koresh because that sounds bad. But I think,
yeah,
but here, you know, I've been arguing that, you know, I go out to my club and I see these guys hammering away on balls on the range. And I think to myself, okay, if you had the opportunity to add 5 or 10 yards to your drive or take 4 to 6 strokes off your round, what would you be doing to accomplish that? And I think you might be the kind of guy to help me preach my message.
Yeah, certainly at the club level, you know, there's no question that hitting the ball far is an asset, but the skill, like I said, the breadth of the art that needs to be developed in the short game is so expansive. I would say most of the pros that I coach, I would say spend probably 85% of their training time hitting shots with their wedges or their putter. And if you flip that to the club level, I bet it's 180 degrees opposite. I bet they go 85 full swing, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And the only way to shave those strokes off is, you know, and you focus on your book, is that 120 yards in. I think that's where your most of your club-level players are going to make up the most strokes and improve their game and score better against their friends. We all know chicks dig the long ball, but winning at the end of the day is more important.
It is. You know, as I always tell people, if you want to have fun, just hit it really solid and hit it far. And if you want to play good golf, then you got to manage your game, and you got to get the ball up and in when you have an opportunity. And, you know, the reality is most players have 10, 12, 14 opportunities in a round of golf. Even if it's just, you know, a chance to make a birdie from 50 yards out on a par 5 that they didn't get to, there are so many opportunities to score. And I don't think most people realize the shots they waste. You know, they'll notice the one they get down in 4, but the 60-yard shot they get down in 3, they're thinking they did pretty good, but it's just still a huge opportunity gone by.
Yeah, and again, we're talking with James Siekman, the master of the modern short game. And, you know, one of the things, James, that I always try and do is get, you know, the average golfer to lay up sometimes, which brings your 120 yards in really into play. I mean, I sit there and go, if you're playing a 400-yard par 4 and you're a 20 handicap, and you're only hitting it 220 off the tee, and you got 180 yards in, they might be better served by, you know, hitting an 8-iron down to 75, 80 yards and then hitting that wedge onto the green and trying to make a 15-footer for par, and worst case, maybe 2-putting for bogey, as opposed to trying to hit that 5-wood or some kind of a hybrid club in from 180 yards and hit it in the water or in a bunker and making 6, right?
Exactly right, and obviously ego is even just a normal sized ego is really kind of what gets in the way. And I mean, if they took their yardage and divided it by 2 and said, "I'm 180 yards out," that's 90 yards twice. They do just fine. But the reality is, you're right. They hit that 5-wood in all sorts of god awful places, under lips of bunkers, and short sided, and you know, chipping downwind, and just places that you can't be. And, you know, I guess it's part of the fun, part of the challenge of trying to pull that shot off. But you'd be surprised how smart or conservative, tour players call it keeping position on the pin, how much thought goes into always giving yourself an easy chip, giving yourself a reasonable look uphill putt. And guys like Zach Johnson and Jim Furyk and guys that have really won a lot that don't maybe necessarily look like they should, they have mastered that art, as did Nicklaus. You know, Nicklaus looked like he should win, but he was a master of that as well.
Well, as golf fans, we sit around and we watch these guys and we hear the commentators, and they talk about guys who maybe are having trouble with a certain part of their game, and they call their old coach. With the number of people that you've worked with who have played on the PGA Tour, the Web.com Tour, LPGA, what are those phone calls like when a tour player is struggling? I mean, how much help can you be in a phone call? I mean, it's sort of like Hank Haney trying to, you know, help your grip over the radio. But how much help can you be, or are you more like a, you know, sort of a you're like a comfort food?
Well, It depends a little bit on the relationship with the player. But if I know a player well, let's say I've coached him for 3 years, and you get fired a lot in my business, one bad year, or maybe they played well, but they feel like they paid you too much money at the end or whatever. You take a step back, and then that player a lot of times realize after a year, it's like, oh, my gosh, there was more value there than I thought. And I have been rehired by players that have fired me probably 5 or 6 times. And quite honestly, it's so easy to teach a tour player. That's one reason why I like doing it. I mean, it's like I know their personality. I know the little boxes that they need to check to play good, because I've been intricately involved in the improvement process for a set period of time. And when you're outside looking in, it's really easy to see where they're being deficient. And when it's just themselves, they're so close to the situation, they just can't see it. So a lot of times a phone call, you can do amazing things with a phone call. And this day and age, what we do is we send videos from there. Just the caddy shoots a video on the phone, says, hey, I'm hitting everything weak and to the right. What do you see? You can frame advance on your – and then a phone call. And instead of getting on the plane and spending thousands, you can do it in 5 minutes nowadays. So sometimes this is great.
Yeah, and you've got a great website, jsegolfacademy.com, and you can get the book out there, and you can get some tips and some news, and you can sign up for your short game school. Give people a feel of what is involved in your short game school.
Well, I mean, I always tell my whole deal is I teach performance. It's not 100% about mechanics. There are a lot of ways to get better. People need to understand how to train effectively and efficiently. They need to develop the mental attributes that lead to performance, whether it's resilience or focus or confidence. And so, and then there's other areas of performance I don't focus on, which would be club fitting and fitness, nutrition, and whatnot. But I basically take whoever my client is and try and do assessment and realize where they're falling short and design a training program that encompasses all those factors, and so that they could just like, okay, I'm going to go out there and spend a half an hour trying to get better, but I'm going to maximize my value of time. And there'll be a little technical portion in that, and there'll be plenty of skill development, and there'll be a mental program or two that they'll need to run. And I'm a big fan of competing, so there'll be some games that they need to play and try and be, proficient at to win. And that's kind of the right mix, the kind of things I do with players, whether they're tour players or amateurs.
Well, I was going to say, the one thing that always made me a really great short game player growing up was the fact that I would always challenge my buddies, and we'd play for Cokes and for cookies. And, you throw a ball down, you try and hit it closest to the hole, or you putt across the putting green, or you make up, stupid little things to do, but it really helps you improve your short game. And that's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it?
That's right. There's plenty of science out there. It's just not like, a couple guys around a beer deciding, hey, guy, that was fun, and I used to be good when I did that. But there's a ton of science around how that type of practice has the most transfer value and ability for a player to learn. And so, kids out there, find a buddy and compete and do it every day. And just don't duplicate a shot, different shot every time, and you'll be practicing just like Ricky Fowler and Jason Day and all the studs now did when they were kids, because that's the process you have to go through to get good.
All right. Well, James, we appreciate you hopping on with us, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Good enough. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's James Seekman.